What's up, ladies and gentlemen? You now entering the Daily Wave, hosted by Mr. Christopher Green himself. On me, I'm just a fellow truth speaker. I go by the name of Doctrine. Welcome to the Daily Wave, starring Christopher Green, alternative media king, preaching truth on the screen. Sometimes he gives it to you calm, sometimes he's causing a scene. But one thing you're not getting this.
Talking about the Middle Eastern boiling over breakdown, Mohamed Morsi. Pretty much being ousted from the presidential palace at this very moment. The people just in complete uproar, saying, get out, Muslim Brotherhood. We don't want you. Of course, this is the same part of the world that was overthrown. Mubarak, as people like to call him, was overthrown courtesy of the United States. And it's just interesting to see this confluence of events as we approach the end of the year. And what a lot of people, we've been talking about these theories, think could be the end of the world. Vinny, good to see you, my friend. I see you you're on the line with us.
Oh, yeah.
So what are your thoughts, Vinny? Could this potentially be the end of the world? And what do you think is the most credible theory that you've heard so far?
Well, you know, Chris, I've been alive 27 years, and the world's supposed to have ended like five times or something like that. I remember when I was a teenager at home on Waiheke Island, and mum was saying that there's some prediction about the end of the world, and we're going to have a nice lamb dinner, and if it is the end, blah, 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 it'll be fine. You know, I mean, none of us really believed it would be the end, and sure enough, it wasn't. So, if you want to think about 2012, all right, so we're living in 2012. My New Year's resolution was 2012, time to stop fracking around. And sure enough, this year, I've been fracking around less and less and less and doing more and more and more to produce a better world. So, in essence, my original world, which was the sitting around going to work and associating with other tenants of scumbaggery and what have you, working in the corporate structure, that world is over for me. And in a way, your world, depending on what you learn on a daily basis, always is coming to an end in some way, shape, or form. You know, nothing lasts forever. So let's talk about some of the theories now. There's three working theories, really. One being the prophesized return of the destroyer, the volcanoes, the tsunamis, the earthquakes, the pole shifts and disaster, etc. A celestial event. Apparently, we go around this Milky Way once every thousand years, and apparently, once it comes around to a certain point when everything's in alignment, everything goes all haywire. Right. It's not entirely dissimilar from how you look at a clock. And you think, man, as soon as those two hands are lined up at midday, the world's going to end. No, it just keeps going round. That's how the Mayan calendar is structured. It's in a circle. Okay? It doesn't actually have an end. Once you come to the end of a circle, it just keeps going round again.
I mean,
people don't understand this. I mean, it's simple geometry. Yeah, you know?
Well, it's kind of funny how people, you know, I really believe people manifest their own destiny, or they manifest what they're thinking about or become what they think about. I mean, let's face facts, Vinny. I mean, yeah, you know, it is funny. We make fun of it. It is comical how, you know, it's been the end of the world multiple times over the past few years. But, you know, the world will end at some point. At least the planet will. Planet Earth will end, but then something new will be born, and, you know, new planets and Earths and stars will be created. And it's just interesting how people
These are processes that take billions of years. So the fact that people are worried about the end of the world happening for them right now, when it takes billions of years to build or create or destroy or whatever, you know, is laughable. But there's another couple of other theories I wanted to postulate first before we kind of continue into a discussion about this. So we've got the first one, which is the end of the world. Second one is it's all a massive psyop being perpetrated by scumbaggery individuals in the New World Order power structure or whatever. And the objective is to get everybody so afraid at the end of the world that they won't try and stop them implementing all their agendas, which are going to end freedom and a free human race as we know it.
Yeah.
The last one is the part of what the Mayans called the entering of the fifth age. And I'm not 100% sure exactly what that means, but the reference card is we currently live in a world full of lies, a world full of materialism, a world full of scumbaggery. And what the fifth age will do is essentially bring in a new age of people actually giving a frack about each other, people having more open hearts, more open minds, and we will endure a golden age of humanity rather than a dark age. Now, the word apocalypse means the revealing of great truth. And this fifth dimension thing, I'm not 100% sure what they're talking about of the fifth age. I wondered whether or not it had something to do with, how we've got dimensions, you know, one dimension being a straight line because it's just, you know, width or depth or something like that. 2D has got width and height. 3D, width, height, and depth. 4D is the 3D object traveling through time. And 5D transcends all of those. So you're no longer the physical universe, and you're no longer within the universe that's controlled by a time. And some people believe that this will be a physical manifestation, and those who are ready and those who wish to kind of harness that power, the ability to see through time, see the future, see the past, and see the present all congruent together, and increase psychic potential and what have you. Now, I like that idea, but at the end of the day, I think about this like I think about many other things. Until it's right there in front of me, it ain't a fact yet. And if somebody's going to tell me to be afraid or be excited about something that hasn't happened yet, I'm sorry. I can be afraid of the things that are right in front of me that I will do something about, and I will be happy about the things that I'm doing every single day. The end of the world matters not for me because I've had a happy life.
Vinny, can you hear me? Am I coming through?
Yes, you are.
This is what I was thinking of. I wanted to interject, so I'll interject now. Is how do we not, okay, you know, the dawn of a new age, a new era, you know, an elevated human consciousness. I think all this is kind of happening. I mean, I do see a lot of great, good, positive things that can come from these changes that we're all experiencing right now. Just the change in the way people think, the way people are viewing the world, the way that we're, you know, more globally integrated. There's a lot of changes, but on the dark side of things, how will there not be massive death in the very near future? There is too many people on the planet, not enough resources, and way too many bodies. How do we not have war? How do we not have disease? How do we not have a, you know, another major plague eradicate millions of people around the world? I mean, are we just going to scientifically break through those obstacles and overcome that for a better future? It's a possibility, but I just see a reversion to the mean. I can't help but see a reversion to that base. And in order for that to happen, it means a lot of people are going to die as a result. I realize it's a very dark way of looking at it, but is that reality or is that just being the negative Nelly?
Well, I don't know. It depends whether or not you fear death.
Well, I don't know if it necessarily is a question of fearing death or not, or, you know, embracing death, you know.
Oh, no, there is a point to this, because if you're afraid of something, what happens to your brain? It shuts down, and it engages the reptilian brain, the lower cortex here, which provokes your fight or flight mechanism and prohibits thought of an intellectual or reasonable capacity. That's what I believe is one of the... whether or not it's an agenda, it's certainly happening. There's fear out there, and people aren't thinking. You know, like you said, people were like, look at it this way. NASA says it's not the end of the world. When was the last time people were stupid enough to trust what NASA says? And you're telling me how a bunch of teenagers mostly were emailing NASA because they're all freaked out and they want to commit suicide and what have you. See, these are people who obviously aren't doing any thinking.
Well, they're not going to tell us if it's the end of the world anyways. I mean, honestly.
Exactly. It would promote chaos, you know. NASA announces the end of the fracking world. Right. They're going to do that. That's why you emailed them to get an honest response, right?
Trust NASA. So let me ask you this then, Vinny. Let's get into this, because I think it's funny how people are always living for the future. I mean, the great majority always planning, prepping, preparing, saving for the future. You know, someday I'm going to have enough money to really live the life that I want to live. Or, you know, they're always looking towards something, building towards something better. And how many of us are really living in the present? So the question I want to pose is, what if it was absolute certainty that the world was coming to an end? Let's just take that as a fact. We've got until December 21st, and then all planetary life is extinguished. How would that change you living in the present today? And what would you do differently knowing you had only a few weeks left to live?
You know, Chris, I'd actually just keep doing this job because I'm having the best time of my life, and I'd rather die having the best time of my life than die afraid alone, because I'm always talking with other people who are really cool, who are inspiring, who teach me things, and there's a back and forth process there too. You know, what would I be doing? Nothing different. I am, on the other hand, having a December 21st party. And inviting many activists and friends and confidants and things around. And we're all going to get wasted together. And if it is the end of the world, sweet. I wouldn't want to end the world in any other way than have a big shindig. You know what I'm saying? With all the people that you love who are cool, who you've known throughout your lives. I mean, it'd just be like going to heaven, wouldn't it? Suddenly all your old friends are there and you feel all ethereal and happy and stuff like that from the acid and ecstasy. You know, that's a great way to do it. However, the other perspective is, have you ever heard of the White Hat Society? You know, this or Drake or whatever, and these people came out saying they're going to arrest all the banksters, and they've got people working in the DOD and CIA and NSA and all the alphabet agencies and what have you, and they're going to concoct this massive mass arrest thing, and suddenly all the bankers are going to be gone, and suddenly we'll all have our freedoms reinstated, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And a whole bunch of people were going, oh, man, that's cool. I now don't have to do anything because somebody else is going to solve all my fracking problems for me.
That sounds
no fracking way. It ain't over till the fat lady sings. And the way I see it, she ain't even clearing her throat yet.
Yeah. Well, I guess, you know, I'm just thinking about, I'm listening to what you're saying. Think about what we're facing, though. I mean, honestly, Vinny, if I'm the power structure that runs the world, I'm just going to shut you off, man. Seriously, I'm going to shut you off. Shut me off. I'll kill you if I have to. I'm speaking metaphorically there, obviously. But from the perspective of the power structure itself, if the people are going to threaten their sovereignty and power and control over the world, these people are a million gazillion times more powerful than you and me. So why don't they just get rid of us?
You know, a lot of people have been saying that. And, you know, I've got no answer. People say, oh, why hasn't David Icke been gotten rid of? Why hasn't this person been gotten rid of? They're talking about truth and conspiracy and blah, 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 blah. Yet they don't get killed. And you know, I have no idea. When I have a look at the people who get assassinated, they're usually right in the middle of it. Right in the middle of it all, you know, whistleblowers, presidents, analysts that have been in the operations who are going to come out and expose great truth and what have you, because they're actually friends and colleagues of the people that wind up killing. In this field, Chris, how many of our listeners and our friends and colleagues do you think are likely to don a black uniform and come into our house and exterminate us? None of them.
I
wonder we haven't been killed yet.
A very fragile thing. I mean, look, even if you're just, you know, you're not in the spotlight and you're not in the wrong place at the right time or vice versa, I mean, you could just be killed in a car accident. You know, you just go out and you all of a sudden you're driving, you're dead. I mean, that's how life is. Well, you know, people forget how fragile things really are. So maybe in a way it's healthy to have a perspective on the end of the world. And, you know, people are going to throw parties and I guess kind of enjoy themselves and get together with family and friends. You know, I see that as good things. I just can't help but see. I can't help but see. Maybe I'm a little bit of a masochist. I can't help but see massive death and a lot of problems and the implementation of the police state and all these things in the very near future. I mean, at some point in our lifetime, Vinny, if we make it through the end of the year here, 2012, there will be a point in human history while we're alive where a major city somewhere in the world is extinguished, gets nuked. We wake up, Paris is gone, DC is gone, New York City is gone. It's going to change the world. At that point, the people will be begging for controls, begging for government assistance, begging for the police state, begging for martial law. I just see this being served up on a silver platter, and it's so easy and also so predictable.
Yeah, well, again, there's nothing celestial or cosmic going on there. That's just the stated and admitted agendas of the scumbaggery element within society that we call the New World Order. So... that was why my perspective on the 2012 thing was mostly leaning towards the fact that it's a psyop and everybody's afraid of the end of the world. And while they're afraid of the end of the world, they're not thinking about the people who are planning the end of your life and society and to exterminate you and all of that kind of stuff. And speaking of extermination and genocide, with these two people recently, like Chris, you remember last time I was on and I broke down the Israel-Palestine conflict and everything for you in quite a succinct fashion. And... Yeah, look, Jew haters, as I like to call them, don't listen to my show, okay? And then they come on my Facebook or on YouTube or something like that and accuse me of being a Jew lover and this sort of thing. And it's absolutely, on the one hand, it's really hilarious, but on the other hand, it's really, really irritating because I've if you just search Israel on my YouTube channel or Vinny Eastwood Israel on Google or anything like that, you will come up with umpteen different archives and huge quantities of protests against it and da 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 da. Even a minimal amount of thought process and clicking on a fracking mouse would kind of bring you into the fold at least a little bit with the reality of the situation, you know, and who I really am and what I really think and what I really do. However, these people don't do that. You're listening to Greenwave Radio Live with your host, Christopher Green. I'm Vinny Eastwood, and we'll be right back after the break. You can check us out at greenwave.com/live-chatroom/ and join on the other listeners there. Back in a minute with Christopher Green and Vinny Eastwood. Welcome back to Greenwave Radio Live with your host, Christopher Green from greenwave.com. Chris, welcome back to your own show.
Appreciate that, Vinny. You know, I think you almost intro better than me. We're going to fill you in, have all the intros and outros.
Well, it's just there's some kind of technical thing that I really don't like it because it always cuts you off like before the breaks and after the breaks and stuff like that. So I thought I don't know. I see problems and I try and solve them. That's what I do.
Your problem solver. It's a good attribute to have. So we're breaking down the end of the world or the lack thereof. Talking about all the theories, talking about, okay, it could be a government-run psyop. And my question to that would be, well, what isn't a psyop? But here's what I'm noticing, I'm finding interesting about this end of 2012 Mayan prophecy thing is I haven't really seen the mainstream media put too much information out on it. It's almost like we're not getting any information on the end of the world. It's almost making me more suspicious. I mean, if you would have asked me 12 months ago, I would have said this would be the biggest story, especially as we approach the end of the year, where there'd be tons of videos, content, movies, books, articles, all written on this. And I have yet to really seen anything on the subject up to the same level as what we saw with Y2K, for example. We saw there was a statement released by NASA. You mentioned that. We were talking about that a little bit, but I really haven't heard a whole lot. I'm quite frankly a little suspicious. What are your thoughts?
Well, the New World Order is very, very adept at omission, and they're also very adept at timing. So I wonder what they're trying to hide off here. I remember what Lindsay Williams told me. He says that the American people are not going to have a revolution. They're going to belly up. They're too fat, too stupid, too brainwashed. It's just that simple. It's plenty that aren't, but they're not enough to lead all the rest of them in a demagogue-type fashion. So he also said that that's exactly how the New World Order wants it. A peaceful, calm transition into the New World Order. And they don't want people to be rioting in the streets. They don't want that that kind of chaos. They just kind of wanted to... basically, I think they don't really want chaos. They keep saying that they want to create crises and then come and propose the solutions. But the thing is, their main objective is to propose a solution, their solution, not create the chaos. The chaos is just a pretext. So, you know, it's a confusing one. But ultimately, my three favorite words are, I don't know. Mm-hmm. And my three most hated words are, I don't care. You know, you ever try to tell somebody something that you think is might be important or worthy of note or mention, and they say, oh, I don't care. I hate that.
Yeah, me too. People, you know? Tom, I'll talk to them about what's going on in the Middle East or Syria or Libya or one of these places. They'll be like, I don't care. Nuke the Middle East is what most of them will tell me. They don't care if we wipe it off the map. Honestly.
Now, has any single one of those people ever been to the Middle East?
99% of them, no.
Yeah. And the 1% that have been there who want to nuke it, let me guess. Veterans on psychotropic drugs that drive them nuts?
Possibly. Yeah.
Okay. So it's just basically it works like this. You, Chris, you're a smart guy, and you at least have some inkling of what's going on. You don't know the whole story. Neither do I. Anybody who does say that they know everything that's going on is probably a crazy person who thinks that they're Jesus reincarnated or something. But here's the point. We are more powerful than those people who don't care. You know why? Because we don't know, but we want to. And that is the motivation in and of itself. We're people who have motivation. We're people who actually care. And as a direct result, we have more of an effect on the planet. People who want to know and people who do care are far more powerful than all of those other people who don't want to know and do not care. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, no, I would. And I was thinking about how you were saying, you know, the power structure wants a seamless transition, right? I mean, whether or not we want to call it the New World Order or something else, they don't want necessary chaos all the time. I mean, they might create chaos to help move us a certain direction and kind of orchestrate these events to, you know, push it to the end goal. But, you know, Americans really are fat and happy, literally. Fat and happy. I mean, literally, we were kind of joking about over the break, fat and happy. So, you know, when people like Lindsay Williams say there won't be a revolution in America, I don't know whether or not he's right or not. You know, I would like to think that the American people aren't so fat and happy, that the growing minority, it's always the minority, too. All you need is a minority. That's what ignites, starts, and you know, finishes revolutions, not the majority. The great majority are fat and complacent, right? But I don't know. It's just an interesting way of looking at it. What are your thoughts? Do you agree with Lindsay Williams? Is America so fat and happy that there will be no revolution and they'll just gladly, with open arms, accept the New World Order and just that's it?
When a revolution is about to happen, there are, at least in the American Revolution, pamphleteers everywhere and people absorbing the knowledge of the tyranny of the king everywhere. You'd have a single pamphlet that would be read 200 times. In other revolutions, in in, say, India, for example. You had large crowds, waves of protest. You had, and this was happening in all different sectors all over the place. In Venezuela, it was much the same thing. Huge rigmarole, massive amounts of public interest. In the United States, I don't know the statistics on this, but I would guess that the amount of voter turnout for the US elections is dwarfed by the amount of voter turnout of American Idol.
Mm-hmm.
When you're driving around, how many people with a 9/11 was an inside job banner do you see? How many people with a end the Fed banner? How many people with a stop Agenda 21, Codex Alimentarius, defeat the New World Order, expose the Rockefellers, expose scumbaggery? How many of those signs do you see? Well, how many signs of those do I see when I'm walking, when I'm driving around and what have you? And the answer is none. Usually I'm the one. With maybe a few other people that I've personally organized to be there with those signs. So there's no public upheaval. It's a private, small clique upheaval, which is generally all you need, really. But everybody wants the masses to awaken. And I don't know about you, but I think it's more like triage on the battlefield. These people are so dumb, so fat, so sick, so incompetent that they're dead already and you cannot save them. Stop wasting your time trying to wake up people who will not get out of bed.
So are these
instead,
people?
Spend your time trying to help those people who are already awake achieve more. You know, priorities.
I agree with you. I think that's it's a perverse way to look at it, but I think there's a tremendous amount of truth in it. I mean, we literally have large segments of the population that are literally dead in a lot of respects. I mean, we're talking real-life zombies, totally controlled, manipulated from an early age through television, media, all forms of entertainment. Literal brain chemistry has been changed. I mean, you can read studies on this stuff. And I talk about this a lot, too. You probably do as well, Vinny. But especially the new technology we now have in our hands. People are addicted to the social media. Fashbook, as you jokingly like to call it. Twitter, these kinds of things. I mean, addicted. iPads, iPods, Nanos, Google Nexus, whatever equivalents you might be using. Pre-teens, two-year-olds, three-year-olds, I'll go to restaurants, bookstores, outdoor malls. I'll go see the public, and literally a family of four will be sitting down with their two children, not a single one interacting with each other in a real fashion, having a conversation, but there'll be a small child playing Angry Birds, another one playing another game or widget, the dad reading a Kindle book, and the mom, I don't know, doing her taxes on the other device. I mean, no human interaction whatsoever, even while they're in the public, they're not just at home. I mean, how is this not insane? How is this not total, total manipulation and control of our entire society? And more importantly, I would say the way that we think and behave.
Well, I don't know about you, Chris, but I don't think anybody's really capable of forcing human beings to think in a certain way, like in terms of actual real implemented force. Think this way, think this way. The person will just act like they think that way, but in the reality inside their own head, they'll just be like, nah, this is bull, this is BS. and that's how a lot of people are. And social media has become the new battleground. Okay, more or less for in the war for people's hearts, essentially. It's not a war for the mind; it's a war for the heart. As far as I've come to conclude, is that you can keep learning such and such a thing that's going to exterminate you, vaccines or the Federal Reserve or Codex Alimentarius or Agenda 21 or whatever, until you're blue in the face. And that only clouds your judgment with more information. Isn't that interesting? It's having more information stops you from taking action because it's not crossing the blood-brain barrier into the heart to a degree. If anything, you're just taking in things that you don't fully understand and are not willing to do anything about, and then hoping that just learning about how fracked you are is somehow going to unfrack your life?
Yeah.
I don't get that. And so I encourage people, and most people won't. Okay, if you're listening to this, and you listen to Chris or me every day or whatever, most of you that I'm speaking to right now will do very little to affect change. And there's a number of reasons for this. A1, you're too comfortable. You think that sitting around and listening to other people talking about the truth somehow enlightens you as to what the truth is. It does to a degree, but the real truth is that action, not information, is what matters most. Somebody comes up to you and says, I've got better information than you. Give me your wallet. And you go, well, I've got a gun. You know what I'm saying? And the other element is people have a fear of becoming who they were meant to be. Right? Because it's a great risk. You've lived your entire life going through the education system, going through these various slave jobs, one after the other. And for some reason, you think that the misery that you're living in right now is relieved by listening to other people who've actually made it, who are not currently living in their misery, who are being who they were meant to be, and it feels inspiring. Yet, the second you stop listening to these types of people like Chris and myself and other members of the Truth Movement, you suddenly feel alone because you haven't taken steps to change your own life, to become who you were meant to be. A friend of mine is depressed, and he's a guitarist, a very good guitarist. And I asked him, bro, you're taking the medications, right? He's like, yeah. And they diagnosed you without showing you any blood tests or any actual information to confirm whether or not you had this disease, right? Yeah. So let me ask you something. If you were in front of 10,000 screaming fans with your guitar, chanting and clapping, would you still need those pills, mate? No. The only reason why you get depressed or demotivated is because you're not doing what you were meant to be doing. You're not being who you're supposed to be.
Well, it's interesting.
Risk everything. Risk everything. Quit your job. Mortgage your house. Whatever it takes. Do whatever it is that makes you happy and it makes you sit right with the universe. And suddenly the universe backs you up. That's what I found. I stopped being the number one salesman at a company. I stopped making thousands of dollars a month. And I started living broke ass. I started going out making videos and doing radio and things like that, all for free, attending public meetings and finding and going to protests and all of that sort of stuff, and giving all the activists in New Zealand a chance to actually have a platform by which they could be broadcasted on, whereby their protest that only has three people to it talking through megaphones to cars passing by who would only catch one word would instead get seen thousands of times online. I saw a problem with the world around me that the people who deserve the coverage are not getting it, so I took personal responsibility to make that happen. And every single day, I have been getting support from the other people who see what I'm doing and want me to keep doing it. You know what I'm saying? As soon as you start doing what you are meant to be doing, suddenly you don't have any problems paying bills or with depression or any stuff like that, because people just show up in droves in many, many different ways to support your ass. Which reminds me, please donate to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Like today, go to thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. It's Vinnie with a Y because it's the most important question. And donate, because right now I'm broke. And yesterday I just asked, you know, start donating, and people have started donating, you know, right away. And this is what I'm talking about. I need like, I don't know, nearly $2,000 to make it through Christmas. That's if I'm actually going to have a nice Christmas and buy people presents, about $1,000 if I do nothing like that. But yeah, please help me if you can. And I'll just keep doing what I'm doing. You listen to the Green Wave Radio Show, with Christopher Green and Vinny Eastwood, and we'll be right back.
Welcome back to Green Wave Radio Live, ladies and gentlemen, with your very special host, Christopher Green. I'm the guest, Vinny Eastwood.
Hey, everybody. Christopher Green here, Green Wave Radio with Vinny Eastwood. We're having a lot of fun today, you know, approaching the end of the year, talking about the end of the world, geopolitics. You know, I was going to, you were talking about the, towards the end of our last break, Vinny, you know, talking about what it is you do, you know, talking about how, you know, the stars align when you stick with something you're passionate about, when you tend to risk everything and actually just follow your true life path, things tend to come together. And I can totally identify with that. I've found that in my own life and just my own personal journey. And what I found interesting is I asked the question, I posed it to you. I said, let's just say it was the end of the world, Vinny. And I asked this, you know, in the beginning of the show, how would that change what you're doing day to day? Now, what was really interesting about your response is that you said, well, nothing would change. I would just do what I'm doing, you know, every day right now because I love what I do. I love being a radio host. I love being an activist. I wouldn't change a thing, which is a awesome response. But here's what's interesting about it. 90%, 99% of most people out there would have not responded that way at all because they don't really follow what they're passionate about. They don't really follow their true life path. Most of the people that I would ask or pose that question to would say, well, I wouldn't go to work. I wouldn't go to the office. I'd throw a party. I'd go do this. I'd get drunk. I'd do whatever. They wouldn't do what it is they're doing on a day-to-day basis. And that says something about and puts into perspective, if you wouldn't do the same thing that you're doing now, even if you knew the world was coming to an end tomorrow, you're obviously not being honest with yourself and you're not following your true passion. I think that there's something that beautiful could come from it, especially if more and more people catch on to it, which I think they are. If they just are willing to trust their instincts, trust themselves, and follow what it is they're meant to do, you cannot fail. You can only succeed. And there's so much truth to that. And I find it really inspiring as well.
Well, my friend Jonathan Eisen, who does these two magazines, the New Zealand Journal of Natural Medicine and Uncensored Magazine. Mm-hmm. One time I gave him a ring. I was getting really depressed at my job. I was smoking weed every day because I just couldn't handle it. And one day I was just thinking about quitting and I gave him a ring and I said to him, John, you know, I really hate what I'm doing. I'm thinking about quitting. And he says to me something that I think that and This taught me one of the most important lessons that I've ever had in my life. He asked me a simple question. Is it right what you're doing? Would it feel right to quit? And I said, you know what? It would feel right to quit. So I did, and I've never turned back. And that's essentially the main lesson everybody needs to really take away from this. Are you doing the right thing? If you're not, stop doing what you're doing, whatever it is, no matter what your obligations are. Nothing is more important than exposing scumbaggery and doing the right thing, is there? You know, name me one thing that's more important than doing the right thing.
Here's a little advice, too, and I find this common, kind of a common theme, or I see a lot of people run into this trap. Don't think. Now, obviously, I want you to think about, you know, what's going on in the world and all these kinds of things. I want you to dig into the truth, investigate for yourself, et cetera. I promote that. All of us promote that within the freedom and liberty movement. But what I often find is people think too much. They just go with your gut. When I ask you a question, Vinny, what would you do if you knew it was the end of the world tomorrow? You're like, well, I wouldn't make any change. I wouldn't do anything. Go with your gut. Don't think about it. Don't give yourself all the reasons why you can't. Why you can't do this or you can't do that or, you know, there would be a speed bump to doing it that way or, you know, my family wouldn't approve of it or how am I going to make money or how is this going to work or how would I pay my rent or my mortgage, etc. Don't think. Follow your gut, trust your instinct, and just go with that. It'll work out.
Yeah. I mean, thinking the right thing and doing the right thing are two very, very different things. You know what I'm saying? One accomplishes nothing. One accomplishes everything that you wish it to.
You know, it's just that simple. Just let go. Let go. What have you got to lose that they're not going to take from you anyway? And this is like, there were two big incidents that happened in recent history that kind of made me sit bolt upright in bed. The first being the Gulf of Mexico oil crisis. And at the time, I was kind of working, looking after autistic boys and things like that, and just doing basically part time, and the rest of it doing all my activism. And then I sat bolt right upright, and I was just like, you know what? The world is too messed up for me to spend any time looking after autistic boys. Okay, I can't do that anymore. I've got a hell of a lot more important things to do than look after boys whose parents think that they cannot be cured and will not in any way, shape, or form even try anymore. Okay, it's not good enough. So I called up my dad, and he's dead now. And I said, Dad, I need money. Okay, I need to start my radio show. I've just been offered. I've been doing my own show for a short period of time, and he gave me $5,000, and I gave half of that to my producer, and it was just that whole sitting bolt upright in bed, like, oh my God, everything's screwed, that kicked me into action, and I was able to use that money to support myself for an extended period of time and to greatly evolve the show to the point where enough people now learned about me and enough people started donating, where I didn't need another $5,000 payment as I started to grow an audience who were willing to support me on a monthly basis for like $5 a month or whatever, and way I was away. And then Fukushima happened. And I get a call from Benjamin Fulford on the day of the tsunami. You know, I was the first person he called. You know, that's extraordinary. And at the time, I was a very inexperienced radio show host comparative to what I am now. And to have somebody of that caliber, you know, that sort of audience that he normally draws to it, to ring me first out of anybody else, was just like, you know what? I am going to be one of the biggest radio show hosts in the world because I have stopped messing around. You know, that was my 2012 motto. I was kind of really sleepy in my car. I was filming a dance party and that kind of thing. And I was just like, you know what? I can't be bothered even filming these people anymore. And they were just vacuous, drunk and stupid people and whatever. And, you know, I was having a few beers in the car by myself outside the club. And I was listening to the radio. These poor guys who were stuck there at 4 o'clock in the morning commenting on New Year's Eve and what have you. And I was just thinking, you know, 2012, time to stop fracking around. And as soon as I got out of my own way, everything just sort of started to fall into place. And that's the thing. You have to have faith, real strong religious level faith in yourself and doing the right thing. Okay, you have to be a zealot. You have to be willing to sacrifice everything. It's like, am I comfortable? Yes. Okay. Well, let's get uncomfortable for a second here. Let's see how deep the rabbit hole goes. Let's see how strong I can make myself by hurting myself by looking at all these harsh realities, and thus I will develop a thick skin. And all those other people out here who have experienced real harsh realities as well suddenly see me as one of their allies, and we have a good time together, and we suddenly make things happen. Okay, doing a radio show is actually making something happen. You know, people would say, oh, you're just talking about it or whatever. Yeah, but we're talking about it, and we're giving people advice, and we're recording it so that posterity, people in the future, will be able to look back and listen to these shows that Chris Green and Vinny East would have been doing and whatever, and go, you know what, these guys were right. And they were right way back in the day. And it's because we're doing the right things. Of course we'd wind up being correct. You know? what's your motivation here? Do you want to be politically correct, or do you want to be correct? You know, it's a simple choice. Do you want to tell the truth, or do you want to muddy the waters and hope that nothing bad happens to you? Hell, man, if you try to avoid bad things happening to you, I can guarantee you a hell of a lot worse things are already happening inside your head than anybody else would really be able to do to you, because you've already defeated yourself.
Yeah, and I
don't
think
fall into it.
The truth. I mean, versus, I mean, obviously there is a right and a wrong, and, you know, time will tell. And obviously, you know, instinctually, all of us, people in general, I mean, we all want to be right, feel like we're valued, loved, appreciated, etc. But it's really just about telling the truth at all costs and not being afraid to be uncomfortable. I love the way that you actually put that, because if you're comfortable, too comfortable especially, then something's wrong. Being uncomfortable is where growth comes from, I think. And you talked about just having, you know, sincere faith in yourself, that you'll be successful, that you can succeed, and that you can do it. And I think that we all should and need to possess that kind of almost religious faith in ourselves. And, you know, I really don't think you can go wrong if you do that. You got to trust your instincts, trust your gut. And, you know, Vinny, we probably both, I would say, run the most, you know, politically incorrect shows on the planet. So we're definitely not trying to just, you know, please people or placate people or make the masses comfortable. I mean, we're about truth, getting that to the people, let them investigate it, let them learn from it. And hopefully it brings real, positive, meaningful change to the world, which I believe it already has. And that's not just a byproduct of us. That's a byproduct of people. And, you know, that is what I would say I do see shaping the world as we close out this year, 2012, as we approach 2013. And, you know, a lot of us are our own worst enemies. We're the bottleneck to our own success. Release the bottleneck, trust in ourselves, and just push ahead and don't think too hard about it. Trust it. It's the hardest thing to do in the world. I don't think you can fail. Only good things can happen. And failure is good. In fact, if you're not getting punched in the face and bloodied up occasionally, then you're not trying, my friend. And that's honestly how I feel about it. So what a great show today, Vinny. I'm excited to come on your program next. I'm, of course, here with Vinny Eastwood of the Vinny Eastwood Show.